Hey, 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 welcome back to Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm your host, Dante Poole, and I am so delighted to be back here with you again. So much has been going on, both personally and professionally, and I'm really excited about today's reading and today's conversation. So excited about it. And, you know, recently I had the opportunity to do a TED Talk. And it was incredible. And I can't wait to share it with the rest of you. And so be on the lookout for my TED Talk that's coming in the next few weeks. I'll send the link out. I'll let you know how to get to it when it gets out. So, man, so grateful for opportunities to live beyond even what I have ever imagined for my life, which is so appropriate for today's conversation. This is a conversation based on the book by Eric Drachman and illustrated by James Muscarello, and it's called A Frog Thing, A Frog Thing. And so let me share the story with you, and we will go from there. Frank wanted to fly, but he was a frog, and frogs can't fly. Frank was different, though. Special. Aerodynamic. You can do whatever you set your mind to, Frankie, his parents had promised. So Frank set his mind to flying. But it was more like falling than flying. And everyone laughed at him. Tired and discouraged, Frank buried his head in his big webbed feet, and that's how Frank's parents found him. Frank explained his problem, and there was a long silence as they thought about how to respond. Frankie started, Frank's dad finally, "When we said you could do anything you set your mind to, we meant any frog thing. See, flying is a bird thing, just like staying underwater forever is a fish thing." "Yes, you should find a frog thing," said his mother. "But I want to fly." "I'm sorry, kiddo, but frogs can't fly," explained Dad. "No," agreed Mom. "We swim and we hop, but we don't fly." "They don't understand," Frank thought. "We understand," they said, and patted Frank's shoulder. Frank sat in the dark, still, sad, but growing even more determined. "I'll show them," he thought. "I'll learn to fly, and I'll fly right over the pond." He jumped and ran and leapt and dove. He flapped and flapped and flapped, and finally just flopped on top of a leaf to rest. He soaked his sore feet and hung his heavy head until, splash, something crashed into the water and started to sink. Frank leapt into action. "It's a little baby bird," he thought. He swooped down, swept her up, and swam her back to shore. The nervous mother bird hugged her baby bird tight. Her baby coughed, then wheezed, then opened her eyes, safe and warm in her mother's wings. The mother bird turned and kissed Frank right on the cheek. He was very surprised and a little embarrassed. "Thank you, thank you," she chirped. "What a great swimmer you are. How can I ever repay you?" "Oh, it was nothing, ma'am," said Frank, for he was a very polite and modest frog. "Please, I want to do something for you. Anything." "Well," suggested Frank, "I really, really want to fly."
"But frogs don't fly," said the mother bird.
"I know," admitted Frank.
"And you still want to fly?"
Frank shrugged. "I've set my mind to it." She looked in his eyes, then flew off in a flutter. "Wait here," she cried. "I'll be right back." And she did come back with another bird and a twig between them. "Grab on," she called. Before you knew it, they were high above the trees. The morning sun streamed through the sky and the wind whistled over Frank's slick green skin. It was a little scary at first, but soon he relaxed as they glided and rose and swooped and dove. Everyone hurried to see Frank fly. They watched from the bank as he and the birds passed overhead. "This is no ordinary frog thing," observed Frank's mom. And when their flight was finished, the mother bird pulled Frank close. "You are a very special frog," she said, and with a whoosh of her wings, flew back to her nest. Breathless, Frank waved, "Thank you. Thank you so much." Frank hopped home, somehow lighter than before. On his way back, he met his folks. "Frankie, we saw you up there," Mom beamed. "Fantastic," croaked Dad. "You can do anything you set your mind to." "Anything," Mom agreed. "Well, any frog thing, maybe," Frank explained. "The birds were the ones flying. I was just holding on. But I do think I could be one of the great swimmers." His parents smiled proudly as Frank joined his friends in the pond. Frank had wanted to fly, but he was a frog, and frogs can't fly, but they sure can swim. The end. I'm telling y'all, these stories are so great. Can we talk a little bit today from doing your thing, right? Learning to live between the now, the not yet, and the not possible. Oh my gosh. Like, at some point, all of us have big dreams. Like, it just doesn't matter whether it's you're younger or you're older. We all have a dream to do something, right? And it gnaws at us. Like, it's looking for a way to manifest in our lives. It doesn't just go away. See, dreams are meant to inspire us to believe beyond our current circumstances and conditions. It drives us to want to see and do more. And I love this conversation that Frank's parents are having with him, right? They told him, "You could do whatever you set your mind to." Like, how many of you have heard that before? As a matter of fact, how many of you have told somebody that? Like, you could do whatever you set your mind to. Okay. This next question is going to be controversial, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Is it true that we could do whatever we set our minds to? Let me ask it another way. Have our parents or teachers or grandparents or friends or family or motivational speakers or whomever, have they really been truthful with us? Like, are we lying to people when we tell them they can do or be whatever they want to do or be? This should create a little cognitive dissonance for you, right? Some where it's like, whoa, you got these two things that, how can they both be true? And what do we do, right? When the reality that someone has done something that others have said is impossible. Yeah. We got to do something, because how do we wrap our minds around this conundrum? The truth is, we can't do anything, but we can do something. Yeah. What do we do with this? Like, how do we reconcile this then? I want to give you a few steps to reconciling this dissonance. And step one is this, that at some point in your life, you're going to have to persistently push past your perceived limits. Mm-hmm. It means that you're going to have to see beyond what you thought was possible in order to reach for something more. This is another example of a word that I talked about last episode, pertinacity. And it's the quality of sticking with something no matter what. It's the type of persistent determination or stubbornness. It's a kind of a steadfastness. I would even introduce this other word. It means resolute. Ah, I love that. Resolute. You almost want to stand up taller when you say it. Resolute. When you're resolute about something, it actually is from the root word resolve. And both those words come from a word that means to unfasten or loosen or release. Okay, so wait. Let's come on. It means that in order for me to accomplish something great, in order for me to accomplish my dreams, in order for me to accomplish more than what I perceive are my limits, that I have to become resolute. I have to let some things go while I more acutely lean in and hold on to something else. It means to let go of other things and to singularly focus on the one thing. A set mind is a formidable thing. Oh, you have known some folk who have made up their minds that they're going to do something, and there is nothing and no one who can tell them any different. What they've determined is that I am going to get from what I dream to a reality. And in order to get to that place, it means that at some point we have to learn how to innovate. And innovation means the first part of innovation, I think it's made up of two parts. The first part is that I have to start doing what I already know how to do, right? Because we don't innovate from nothing. We innovate from something. But I can't get to innovation if I'm unwilling to do at least what I know how to do. So then the other part of that, and so you can't discard, discard what you can do, right? You need to do that because it's the springboard, it's the launching place, it's the foundation for this other piece. And that is, I know it's going to feel like I'm talking out of two sides of my head here, but it means not being limited by what you have already experienced or seen. Yeah, if I'm going to innovate, I got to do what I know how to do, but I can't let that be all that I'm willing to do. I have to find some way to not be limited by what I've seen and what I've experienced, because what I've seen and what I've experienced is not all there is. I was in a recent conversation with some young people and was just encouraging them to go beyond their neighborhoods, their communities, their families, like get exposed to something else. I mean, as Americans, we are so limited in our perception of the world. Like when we think about the world, we think about it as America and not as anything other than that. And we have to do better about that because America isn't all that there is. And it doesn't mean this isn't a great place to live, but it isn't the only thing in the world. So you got to push past your perceived limits, which brings us to the second step. And that is, if I'm going to do what I already know how to do, then I also have to have an understanding of my design. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we want to do things that are beyond our design. Frank was not designed to fly. He was designed to do what frogs do, but he still wanted to fly. And there wasn't anything wrong, per se, with Frank's dream. But his design created some boundaries to how he could do that. See, there's more than one way to accomplish a thing. I remember growing up, I enjoyed playing the game of basketball. You know, we just finished the NCAA tournament, and the NBA playoffs are starting, and you know, and I'm just so excited because I enjoy the game of basketball. But my design wasn't that I was really good at shooting. Like, I could jump really high. I could really defend the ball and get rebounds and block shots, but wasn't that good at shooting. And it doesn't mean I didn't shoot. It just meant that I recognized that if I was playing on a team, I was going to live within my design, and I was going to pass that ball to somebody who was a better shooter. I was going to take my little shots when I could, but I was going to pass that ball to somebody. I was going to set the shooter up to shoot. I was going to make sure that that happened because I understood my design. And I understood that my design added value to the game. My design, your design, adds value to the lives of others. But here's what we know. Whenever we're trying to innovate and to understand design and to live into something more, whenever you're trying to accomplish anything that is worthy, then there will always be adversity. And how do you know that something is worthy? Well, let's define it this way. Something is worthy when it is adding value to the lives of others. It's not worthy because you're just trying to get rich or you're trying to experience a certain status in your life or you want a certain position at the job or you want other people to think that you're more successful. That's not worthy. What's worthy and what's wealthy is when I'm doing something that is adding value to the lives of others. It is something that is helping others live a better life. That is worthy. That is worthy. And Frank, he had faced some adversity in his dream to fly, right? Frank, he faced adversity on three fronts. His parents, because they told him he could do whatever he set his mind to. And then his abilities, right? He wasn't built. He didn't have feathers. He didn't have wings. So he wasn't built to fly. And then in his community, when he was trying to fly the way he thought birds flew, his friends, his community laughed at him. When you are trying to do something worthy, you're going to face seasons of adversity. But what comes with seasons of adversity is discouragement. You're going to get tired and you're going to get discouraged because, again, anything worthy of your time and energy is going to demand something of you. And so what was interesting is that after Frank's interaction with his parents, when his parents was like, listen, fly is a bird thing, just like fish, swimming under the water forever is a fish thing. Like they were like, you got to go find a frog thing to do. But you know what Frank did? Frank became even more determined. He became even more resolute. Oh, yes. And so what I love about all of that is that what Frank did is Frank set himself up so that a problem would provide an opportunity for him to discover how to manifest his dream. And that brings me to step three, right? Step one is about knowing and persisting past your perceived limits. Step two is about understanding your design. But step three, it's about doing good for others, often leads to growth opportunities for you. Man, see, Frank didn't get so caught up in his emotions and his own feelings that he ignored what was happening around him. He was on that lily pad. He was tired. He was discouraged because he was trying to do something that was hard to do. And then he heard a splash. You can't get so caught up in the frustration of your not yet season that you find yourself in. Not yet doesn't mean never. It just means it's on the way. And so where I am now is also my not yet for my next. But it also doesn't mean it's impossible. It just means the possibility may have to come in a different way. And so there are things happening around you, but they are not happening to you. They're happening for you. And might I add, they're also happening for someone else. You can't get so caught up in what you want that you neglect to remember that you are designed to be of benefit to someone else. And so, if you have the opportunity to do good for someone else, you should. I mean, that bird came splashing down in the pond, and Frank could have been like, yeah, whatever, you know, figure it out, baby bird, because I got my own problems. But he didn't. He did what step four is, and that is learning to manage your negative emotions. This is what we call self-regulation. Again, I can't say it enough. It is so important for you to have the ability to manage your big emotions and to manage and discourage negative behaviors. See, Frank didn't resent the fact that birds could do what he could not. I mean, if he did, he would have liked, your baby bird, figure it out. But he didn't, nor did he allow his frustration to get in the way of his willingness to help. And here's the beautiful part. Frank's response to the need of the baby bird, our response to the needs of others, give us a chance to see our dream manifested in a new and a different way. I love it. Frank did not get stubborn in his thinking, only wanting his flying to happen the way he thought flying should happen. He stayed open to the possibility that flying could come a different route, that his dream could be manifested in a different way, in a way that he did not expect. I'm telling you that you've got to learn to not let your negative emotions cloud your ability to see that your dream can be manifested in a different way. Ah, man. And that brings us to step five. I mean, we're right there on it. Step five is then I have to trust the process. I mean, we've heard that before. And if we want to be honest, like really honest, sometimes the process sucks. Yep, I said it. Like sometimes the process of getting from what you dream to from your reality to what you dream to the manifestation of the thing you want to see happen in your life, sometimes that process, man, is so hard. It's so difficult. As a matter of fact, sometimes you're watching other people have their dreams come to fruition, watching them get after and get some things, and you're sitting in your process getting like, oh man, like, why do I have to go through this to get to that? They look like they haven't really had to go through much to get to it. I'm telling you, don't let that deceive you. Don't let that deceive. Don't let your negative emotions dupe you into believing that somebody got something and it was easy for them. We all have our own kind of hard. And so life has a way of affirming our strengths and gifts and talents. And this mother bird, she was like, yo, Frank, you are a great swimmer. Like, Frank hadn't even really thought about himself as a swimmer. He was a frog that was trying to fly. And she was like, you're a great swimmer. Here's what I want you to know about this interaction, this thing that stood out to me. It's that sometimes strangers can often see in us what those who are familiar with us are unable to see. But sometimes it takes a stranger to highlight something in us for us to pay attention to what's already there. See, and here's the other thing that I love about this interaction. That Frank was not afraid to ask for what he wanted. Like, don't be afraid to ask even a stranger for what you want. Because here's what I know. Everything we need comes to us. Like, when it's time for the next phase of the manifestation of your dream, then who you need and what you need will come alongside the journey with you. They will appear. They will show up. And you have to be ready and willing to ask for what you need. And sometimes we don't ask for what we need because we're ashamed, because we experience shame. And that shame really is about us comparing ourselves to other people, because we think that we should look a certain way or act a certain way or be a certain way in order to get what we need. I love this. Frank didn't have wings, but frogs have an incredible grip. Yeah, now that bird recognized. She went and got another bird, and they came back with a twig and told Frank to just grab hold of the twig. And he used his grip. He used what he could do to help him do what he could not. He could swim. He rescued the bird. He could grip with those strong webbed feet. And they took him flying. And the conversation with his parents was just incredible. They were like, we saw you up there. You could do anything you set your mind to. And Frank said, I wasn't really the one flying. I was just holding on. The birds were flying. Here's what Frank was saying. I did get to experience my dream of flying, not because I flapped my wings or my webbed feet and flew, but because I used what I had to help me get to what I wanted. Those creatures innovated together so that Frank could live his dreams. And I'm just telling you that you can do something. Like, you may not be able to do anything you set your mind to, but you could do something. So find your thing. Do your thing. Learn to sort through the now, the not yet, the not possible, and might we even add the possible, because there are lots of things possible for you, and you can do them. So great to talk with y'all. Again, this is the Life Sculptors Podcast. I'm Dante Poole. So great to be with you. Do me a favor.
like, share, and subscribe. And remember that you are enough. Thank you.